Shalom, welcome to another episode of Inspiration from Zion. I'm Jonathan Feldstein, and I have the privilege of being your host, coming to you from the Judean Mountains here in Israel. I like to refer to it as the original Bible Belt. Inspiration from Zion is a program of the Genesis 1-2-3 Foundation, whose mission is to build bridges between Jews and Christians with Israel in ways that are new, unique, and meaningful. I pray that you will find this all of those. Through this program, we're excited to connect you to people and stories in and relating to Israel to give you a window to look through, experiencing aspects of life here that you wouldn't otherwise know about. We want this to be interactive, so please be in touch at inspirationfromzion@gmail.com and send along any questions and any comments about any topic anytime. Or you can reach us at genesis123.co or follow and like Inspiration from Zion on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. Please stay tuned until the end of the program. We were also going to share an exciting opportunity, and please feel free to share this with others who will also find it of interest. Today, we are announcing the realization of a vision that's about a year old, that was born shortly after the October 7th, 2023 massacre. I'm with my friend, Rabbi Josh Rubin, who runs a tremendous business, Kosher World Adventures, running kosher programs for Jewish travelers all over the world. Honestly, it makes me a little bit envious of all the fascinating and exciting places that they go, but also making it so easy for Jewish travelers who keep kosher to be able to go to places like Vietnam and Thailand and
Australia, Australia. And Alps and Tuscany,
and being able to keep kosher dietary laws without having to drag along cans of tuna fish. And it's really a wonderful thing. About a year ago, Josh approached me and had an idea to do something tremendous that's not for Jewish travelers specifically, but in the wakes of the footsteps of the righteous Gentiles among the nations, the people who threatened or risked their own lives in order to save the lives of Jews 75, 80, 90 years ago during the Holocaust. Here in Israel, if I'm not mistaken, there are about 26,000 righteous among the nations who are acknowledged as such. And many cases, the names of their descendants and the names of the family, the Jewish people and their family members are also inscribed. So we know that as a result of these 26,000 people who risked their own life, tens, if not now hundreds of thousands of Jews live here today as a consequence of their life being saved. So we launched a program, and it goes a little bit different having a conversation on Inspiration from Zion, because for the last year, and I've been very religious about it, for the last year, we've spoken only about war-related things. But why am I having the conversation today? First of all, we're super excited for you to announce it and to invite you to join us. But second of all, this was born out of this calamity. We need, when Israel and the Jewish people were feeling and still are at their lowest, at their weakest, the most vulnerable, with over 1,200 of us here in Israel who were killed that day and another 250 plus who were kidnapped, having non-Jews, having righteous Gentiles, and specifically Christians standing with us today has never, ever been more important. As a matter of fact, I was at a wedding yesterday catching up with a friend who I hadn't seen in many years, and he asked what I'm doing. He emphasized that point. Christian support for Israel and the Jewish people has never been more important. So I'm real excited to introduce my friend Josh Rubin. We're neighbors. We've collaborated on a number of things, Jews and Christians praying together. Josh, say hi and introduce yourself and your background. When you made Aliyah, talk to us about your family so people know who they're hearing.
Whoa. So I'm going to say three things. Number one is that I'm here because this guy's a good guy.
Okay, now the pay.
And it is just wonderful to work with good people. That's number one. Number two is that you talked about my travel business and traveling, and I will tell everyone about the most important journey. Most important journey is a journey to come home. Coming home. Coming home. That's it, you know? Come home to your wife, come home to your children. You know, that's just what it's all about. It's about coming home. And I'll continue that with another story, which I think you guys are going to really relate to. Is my father, very religious man, very religious upbringing, very religious, strict in terms of the laws of kosher, strict in laws of the Sabbath, very strict. And he grew up in Dorchester,
Dorchester, Connecticut.
close in Massachusetts.
Massachusetts, the
Yes,
other
the
Dorchester.
other Dorchester, and he would go out of his house, you know, in the tenements with all the other boys. Now, all of the boys were Irish; they're all Irish, right? And all very religious. And my grandmother knew that he could play with them. He knew he could play with them. He knew he could be with them. No problem. Why? Because they all shared the same ideals. They shared the same ideals. In that sense, they were at home together. And the tragedy, and it's a tragedy, the tragedy this past year is that there are certain Arabs that don't share the ideals that we share. And that's a tragedy. And that's really what this is about. The whole world, we want to live with people that share our ideals.
By the way, but it's not just Arabs, because if it had only been, I feel like I'm a Passover Seder singing Dayenu, the song that we sing, celebrating all of the miracles that God performed for us over 40 years. But if it had only been a massacre on October 7th, and the rest of the world hadn't ganged up on us and taken us to the International Criminal Court and said that we're committing genocide and all these horrible things and wanting arms embargoes as we defend ourselves for our very existence, you know, we could almost say, Dayenu, okay, we could live with that. But it's this beating up on by the world. And the good thing is, people who listen to inspiration from Zion know the truth. They want to know the truth. So this is an important conversation.
Absolutely, no doubt. So that's the third reason I'm here, is because it's very exciting. It's very exciting to reach out to people that share my ideals. Okay? We're different, but we share ideals
Yes.
about the belief
Good.
in humanity. The belief in humanity. And you know, these people, it's very easy to be a human when you're standing in line and you're ordering a latte. Okay, how much do you have to be a human to do that? Maybe a little bit, not too much. But such a darkness. I cannot think of anything was more dark than the whole camps that were dedicated to just killing people.
Yeah.
And here there were people. They are the righteous among the nations, the light. They were the light. They believed and they acted on their faith.
And they put their lives in danger as a result. And that's why, again, this program is important, because if you didn't know that there were people who stood with us during the Holocaust, who protected us, my father's cousin and his father, my father's uncle, were protected by righteous Gentiles. And there are two dozen descendants of more of my father's uncle just alone, because he was able to make it here. But the righteous Gentiles put their lives at risk.
And you know, there's a beautiful teaching in the oral tradition in the Talmud. It says, if you save one person,
Yes.
you have saved the entire world. And so it's true, each person is an entire world. But also, what is this world? Our world is a place where we want to save people, where we want to go out and take care of people. And these people did that. We're going to hear stories about a woman who was on a bicycle.
Well, hold on. I want to come to that and
Yes.
what our plans are, but I want to dig a little bit deeper,
Go ahead.
because it's not just that, okay, Josh says I'm a nice guy and he says I'm an, and I say he's a nice guy. Okay, true. We have two witnesses. Those are statements that are proven. But it's only about 2 years ago that you and I started actively collaborating on stuff when I was in Africa. And we started doing those prayer events together.
Right.
He's not here with his guitar at the moment, but just a lovely voice, spiritual, tremendous musician. And that goes with the whole personality. For you, correct me if I'm wrong, what I do, building bridges with Christians all over the world, is something new that you just kind of jumped on and embraced. And you've been, the number of times I've said, no hold back when he's come with a really great idea. There's just been no bandwidth for it. Have not been a few. Am I right? What triggered at some point 2 years ago when we were that you had this maybe epiphany is not the right word, but realization that this is important to be engaging?
Well, I actually I did a lot of interfaith work in the show. Yes. Back when it wasn't as popular as it is today, and prayer circles together, both with Muslims and with Christians. In fact, after one of these prayer circles, Sister Sveta Lucia from the monastery at Latrun, which is right outside of Ben Gurion, the airport, she came to me and she says, "It's going to be Passover soon. Would it be okay if we come to your house for Passover Seder?"
Wow.
So sure enough, that year she came with, there were two nuns and three priests. And it was a fascinating experience to be able to share this tradition.
Yeah.
So I have been involved with certain aspects of interfaith work throughout. And I guess 2 years ago, I was just looking to expand. And my business was doing really, really well. And my business is really great. It's just so much fun to sit at all these places. And I was really looking for something that was a little more value-based. And, you know, at that point, I said to myself, you know, I have this big vision, you know, and the big vision is about humanity and about the world, you know. And I knew what you were doing, and I noticed how important. And, you know, there's a great story. I mean, it's a great story. A boy is digging a hole in the backyard, And he's working really hard. And his father's saying, he's looking at him, and he looks at his father. His father says, "You're not using all your strength." So he's working even harder. And he looks at his father. His father says, "You're not using all your strength." And working really harder. So his father says, "You're not using all your strength." And finally, the boy says, "I am using all my strength." His father says, "You didn't ask me to help you. So you're not using all your strength."
Wow. Okay. Cut end. That was great. Okay. A good time for a momentary pause while we have an announcement, and then we're going to come right back, and I want to talk about our exciting plans for 2025.
As remarkable and miraculous as Israel is, and its very existence a testimony to God's faithfulness, in many ways, Israel's like most other countries. Just as there are parents anywhere who have stronger and weaker parenting abilities, and adults become a product of situations in their lives that they cannot control, making their ability to raise and care for their own children even harder, that's true in Israel as well. The Genesis 1-2-3 Foundation is committed and takes the mandate seriously to care for the least of these, our brothers, our children. We're committed to bless and strengthen orphans and at-risk youth, to invest in them, to empower them, so that their future will be brighter than their past or their present. But Israel is unique in that there are always threats of war and terror which know no bounds. For children who come from homes that are not safe, sometimes the very scary reality of living in a community that's not safe is too much to bear. We are committed to turning orphans and at-risk youth into children of promise. We fund a variety of programs to help those most in need as widely as we can. We invite and encourage you to join us today so that we can ensure their brighter tomorrow. Please visit genesis123.co to find out more and to send your love and most generous donation today.
Using all our strength, we need to get strength from our Christian friends, from the Anjou.
You know, David says, and it's a beautiful tune, and I'll just sing just the beginning. He says, "For all my brothers and friends, for all my sisters and friends," it says in the book of Psalms. "Please let me ask, please let me pray." So here we are. Here is something. Here is a sisterhood. Here is a brotherhood. Here is a collaboration. Here we've come together. And in fact, here are these heroes. These heroes that in the time of darkness, they were the light.
During the course of this year plus that you and I have been talking about, and now, thank God, realizing this project for the second quarter of 25. There have been, each of us have had our own impediments to move forward. Our kids serving, calamities that have happened communally, what have you. What's that been like for you this year, getting through all of this?
So really, one of the things that really helped this year, really helped, I found on AliExpress, believe it or not, you can buy these concrete enforced umbrellas.
Okay, good.
Very nice. It has been a very, very trying year because Iran's bombing us. The umbrellas don't really work. And Hamas and the Hezbollah, and I think was really
has yes, the Houthis.
And the Houthis, boy, oh boy. So really, this sense of unity, telling you, it breaks my heart. The words not thoughts are, it melts my heart. The unity, people coming, feeding soldiers food, underwear, socks, towels, toothpaste, cookies. They need a place to do their laundry. We found a place to do laundry. They need someone to cut their hair. And people that were evacuated from the north, you know, schools were set up, food drives were done, clothing drives. The amount of unity. It's like, you know, bittersweet chocolate, right? It's just like that. So broken. I mean, really broken and there. Tears. And at the same time, inspired. Incredibly inspired by these people. You know? And that's just, you know, it's a beautiful thing. In the Jewish law, we say that when you light a candle for one person, you light it for 100 people. And, you know, you walk into a dark room with one candle, it lights up the whole room.
Correct.
You know? And so I've heard so many stories of heroism, both in the soldiers themselves and their wives.
Yeah.
And the teenagers that come to babysit.
Yeah.
And just like, there's been so much light in the darkness.
So before we had a name, Footsteps was born. What's the concept? Tell everybody, what do we do? What are we doing, and why do they want to join us?
Right. So it's so incredibly simple, and that is, it's about inspiration. It's about inspiration. It's about the light and the darkness. It's about the Yad Vashem, which is the nationally recognized memorial organization here in Israel, has intensively investigated and done research, and has found around 26,000 people, 26,000 people, it's about people that they endangered their own lives
Correct.
During the Holocaust.
And received no material benefit. They didn't have money, Jews paying them off to nothing.
Nothing. And so this, it's very simple. We're just following in their footsteps. And this time, we're going to go to many different countries, but this time, we're going to Holland, and we're just going to follow their footsteps. Of course, one of the famous stories is the story of Anne Frank. But there's many stories like this, and this is going to be an experiential trip where we're going to learn about these people, we're going to experience them in the experience. At the same time, we're going to get to know Holland. Holland's a beautiful place, just a beautiful place, a very, very fun place to go. It's a good combination of both. But that's the concept. The concept is to just fill yourselves up, you know, with that light. And, you know, it's like light is like a nuclear reactor. Right? Here you see like these big machines or factories. How much nuclear reactor do you need? You don't need that big. So, but it's just like that. Light and nuclear reactor, you don't need that much. But when you got it, oh my God, you know, I wish you could meet my children and our grandchildren. Jonathan's also, you know, there's a light in their eyes. You know what? Let me tell you something. And it's sad because this time it really breaks my heart. Put a child, put it in front of the TV. You know, after an hour or two, you know what happens?
Disconnect.
There's no more light in the eyes. Breaks my heart. So really, I wish you could meet our children and our grandchildren because there's so much light. There's so much light in Israel. There's so much light in Israel. It's just like, I don't know. I wish I could sell light because there's so much of it. But anyway, that's what Footstep is all about. It's about sharing that light.
You mentioned someone on the bike.
Yes. So, I apologize. I don't remember the name right now, but there was one woman.
It's okay. It's a cliffhanger. We want them to come along and join us.
So she went. She was a nurse, and she went into the Lodz, a ghetto, every day to take care of the people. you know, whatever it was. And she smuggled out babies in her little back of the bicycle, you know. And had she been caught, Gestapo, torture.
Bullet in the head.
Bullet in the head. It's just, and people did this. And they did this because their faith was important to them.
Excellent.
You know, and that's the kind of people, you know, I want to meet. That's the kind of people I want to be in touch with. Faith-based people. Valued-based people.
Humanitarians.
Humanitarians.
Well, I think those are the people who are listening right now.
You know, and if anything, you know, I don't care if you are, I don't know, where you hold politically, but give me a human being. You know, in Yiddish, we call human being a mensch. A mensch. So a mensch, give me a mensch. Come on, God, give me a mensch in this world. We need mensch. Someone who's going to stand up for what they believe in. You know, can you stand up for what you believe in? That's the kind of people I want to hang out.
You were working on the itinerary now, yes, for Holland in May.
May.
And that's still in the process. And that we'll always put at the bottom, I forget what three-letter acronym. But basically that anything can or may be changed until the very end.
Tentative,
right. Yes. But of the things that are conceptually in stone,
yes.
Like, what are the one or two that people have to come with us to see and experience?
Okay, so first, everyone knows about Anne Frank and how she was hidden and in her diary. So we're going to be visiting. So that's one thing. And something else we're going to be doing, which is absolutely amazing.
You know? But the important thing about Anne Frank, the annex, she and her family and another family were hidden behind a fake bookshelf in the attic of a building by Anne Frank's father's business partners,
yes,
who were non-Jews, who were Christian.
Right.
And actually, if I'm not mistaken, the only survivor of that was Otto Frank, the father. Everyone else eventually was caught and exterminated in one of the camps. I don't remember. But yeah, we're going to see that.
Yes.
The physical place where these people were hit.
Well, yes. And we're going to go to the square where the deportation happened.
Uh-huh.
And we'll hear the stories about with expert guides about that. And also, and this also is probably just to give you a sense of the experiential part of it, is that we're going to wake up early. We're going to wake up early, just like those Jews that woke up early in order to escape.
Yeah.
And they were helped by their Christian brothers to escape. And they woke up early, went into the forest in the middle of the night. So we are going to follow in their footsteps. We're going to do that also. It's going to be the middle of the night. It's going to be experiential. It's going to be exciting. It's going to be really something very special.
Yeah, definitely. What else do we need people to know logistically? As you're speaking, I'm thinking about how it's going to be a really boutique experience. Like, we're not opening this to a lot of people. We want it to be something small.
Yep. Absolutely. Look, whenever and here connects to my travel company, whenever we do something, it's always a full service. You know, so from the moment you land in Amsterdam until the moment you leave, we take care of everything. And that's very important for people to know, you know, in terms of accommodations and foods and guides and activities. We just take care of everything. So you can come and you can just really soak in.
Right. That's very important. And that's what, like you said, that's what you do anyway.
Yes.
You don't have to worry about even schlepping luggage, right?
That's correct.
It's all going to be taken care of. What else, you know, Holland, the Netherlands is stop number one. Fortunately, for the rest of our lifetime, we have enough itineraries to go in different parts of the world. And hopefully the people who come with us, trip number one, will come back on trip number two, and eventually maybe doing multiple tracks, what have you. But we're also talking about, well, let me see, what time? Let's take one. We're talking about future and what we want the participants to bring with them. And I want to, one of the things I really love about Josh is just the vision. We're going to take another really, really quick break, another announcement about the Israel Emergency Campaign and all of the things that we've been doing. And then we're going to come back and just talk about how you can participate and what that means for your future and your descendants.
Friends, Israel's at war, and the war may get worse before it gets better. Much worse. It's going to be a long war because the enemy is the epitome of evil. It's not just a matter of overcoming troops on a battlefield, but overcoming a theology, an ideology, an evil one. While the Genesis 123 Foundation has been overwhelmed with the support of so many donations to the Israel Emergency Campaign, there's so much more that needs to be done. We've invested your donations that we've received so far strategically to make the biggest impact possible, whether helping with soldiers and their equipment and personal needs, to providing civilian security for outlying border communities, to relocating and settling several families from near the Gaza war zone, launching the global petition drive to support Israel in the face of pressure for a ceasefire, and long-term needs for at-risk children, traumatized now more than ever before. Please take a moment to pause this conversation right now and go to love.genesis123.co and donate generously. We value your trust, and we will keep all donors informed about how and where your donations are being used to contribute to make the biggest impact possible. And when you use that link, love.genesis123.co, you can also send your prayers and words of encouragement to Israelis of all backgrounds, just sending your love, something that we need so desperately. Thank you, and God bless you and your loved ones.
Josh, you were just talking about there are too many names. I mean, not too many. It should have been 260,000, not 26,000. It should have been 2.6 million, not 26,000. But there's too many names of people in our lifetime to follow all of them. But this will be inspiring. This will be all-inclusive. We've spoken a lot about where the future will go, what this will mean for the people and their participants and their children and their grandchildren. What do you want to share with people on that level?
I want you to know our daughter, we have five children, and our youngest is 19.
Okay.
And something that I'm trying to help her realize, and I tell her this quite often, is that it's very hard to raise parents. Very, very hard to raise parents. But I will tell you, there is only one way to raise children. And the other way to raise children is by raising ourselves. It's the only way. Because they're going to do what we do. We messed up. They're going to mess up. We succeeded. They succeeded. I mean, God willing, they should be more successful than us. So what do I want? I want my children to know that I'm involved with this project. That's what I want. Because that is the greatest form of education.
Very nice.
And so, you know, it's like I tell people, I live in Israel. I came to Israel when I was 14. I came to Israel by myself. I was on kibbutz. I was milking cows. I had no idea where the cows were, whatever. I figured it out eventually. I did the army, university, my wife, the whole long story. But I'm here because I'm a Zionist. And I can't understand how anyone can live anywhere else. I can't understand it, you know? And it's like God said, live here. And then God made planes. He says, you can actually come.
Easily.
And it's not so expensive.
Yeah.
And so so we're here and we're just sharing the light. And what we're hoping to give people, besides we've chosen Holland first because Holland's a very good combination of content, of depth, of inspiring stories, but also it also has a more entertaining, fun aspect to it, you know, so and it's very important.
Not as dark as Poland, exactly. Not as Latvia or
right.
Estonia.
So it's very important to be able to balance, you know, both of those. And so what we want to do is we really want to help people to take this experience, and then you can go and share this experience with people. And what a gift that is to share this experience with your children, with your grandchildren,
right,
with your friends. I mean, you know what happens? It's a beautiful thing. If you take a candle and you put it next to another candle, if you take a lit candle and put it next to another candle, then you light it, So now the first candle lit the second candle, but the first candle didn't lose.
Wow, beautiful.
You know, beautiful. So here we are. It's the gift of sharing this light, and the world we live in today needs this light.
But if we don't, this is such a great metaphor. I always enjoy these conversations just theoretically, but this is so practical. If we don't share the candle, the light from the candle, then that candle eventually will burn out. So what we're saying to people is join us and light a candle to transfer the light. I don't know if I ever shared with you, when I went to Poland in 1990, not married and no children, I wrote, and somewhere I may still have it. I saw it in my office before we downsized 4 years ago, but I may have lost it. I wrote on yellow legal paper a letter to my unborn children that I wrote in Poland after having visited Auschwitz. I really want to find that because I really would like to know what 23 or 4 or 5 year old Jonathan said to his children now as he's approaching 60. But these are the things that we're hoping that are going to come out of this experience, that people will not just, it's not an elder hostel trip where people are going to go and learn and keep that knowledge for themselves academically. It's not a experiential trip where they're going to go and do cool things and then show their grandchildren the pictures of helicoptering into a volcano or hang gliding or whatever. This is going to, you said it, it's spiritual. This is, and it's transferring that light.
It's true. And it's very, very true. And at the same time, in the morning, we're going to go to the Dutch Resistance Museum. Okay. In the afternoon, okay, we're going to go to on a canal cruise. We are going to balance the two of them. I'd like to say, really, in summation, is that I'd like to teach the world to sing.
Okay.
In perfect harmony.
You'll get the COVID.
Yeah. See, that's the thing, you bet, is that COVID hijacked that beautiful song, but that's what we want to do. In order for us to sing in perfect harmony, we need to have the same ideals. We don't, an orchestra is a beautiful thing because an orchestra is that a tuba is a tuba. Mm. And the cymbals are cymbals, the drum and the wind section, they're all so different, yet they all believe in the same thing. And that's what we're doing over here.
Right. Okay. So you said in summation, but yes, before we finally officially sum, what else do you want to share about this? I really, I didn't say it overtly, but I just adopted Josh's concept and vision, and we've worked together to improve it, and it's going to be extraordinary. What else from your vision?
Another thing I want to say is that I'm 61 years old, and we have grandchildren. And my eldest grandson, he is 9 years old. So, and let's imagine he's going to get married when he's 22, 23.
Okay.
So in 12, 13 years,
yes,
he's going to be married. Then we'll tack on another couple of years. So in 15 years, I'm going to be a great-grandfather.
God willing.
About 15 years, maybe 20. So that means when I'm 81, I'm going to be a great-grandfather. In April 1943. They took my great-grandfather.
Oh.
In April 1943, they took him down. My great-grandfather. And no one said a word. And there are atrocities happening in the world today. There are terrible things that human beings do to each other. Terrible things. The very first story that happens after we are thrown out of paradise is a story of Cain and Abel, because it's the only story of brothers killing each other. And here, what do we need? We need to follow in the footsteps of people that said, no, you are my brother, and I will save you, even at the cost of my own life.
Yeah.
This is the message the world needs today. And we need it in Israel, and we need it in Africa, and we need it in Europe. We need it everywhere. You know, it's a beautiful thing. It's a beautiful teaching that the Hebrew word for responsibility is achriut. And everyone knows that in Hebrew, you have three letters, which are the root.
Right.
The root of that word, achri, which is responsibility, is acher. Acher means the other, which is when you see someone else, I have a responsibility for them. But to make this even more beautiful is that three-letter word, which is acher, which means other, breaks down into a two-letter root, which is ach, which means brother.
Yep.
And so the word that means responsibility comes from the root word brother.
Brother.
There will be a day, there will come a day when we will treat each other like brothers. And that's what happened with Footsteps. These people treated Jews like brothers.
Yep.
And that's the message that we want to convey, both regarding Christians today, but also regarding the entire world.
Sure. I didn't know we were going to talk about our great-grandfathers, and I haven't projected how long it will be till I'm a great-grandfather, but my oldest is turning six, my oldest grandson. But in August of 1942, they didn't even bother to take my great-grandfather to Auschwitz. They lined him up in a pit that they had to dig themselves and shot them all. And not only is it the polar opposite of achrayu, responsibility, and being brothers, but it was in the village in which they lived, surrounded by the Polish neighbors who were cheering the massacre of the Jewish people there. So we're turning the tide. We want to give you the opportunity to come and experience and be inspired and have a good trip. It's going to be a good trip.
It's going to be good food. It's going to be good accommodation.
Yep.
There's going to be entertainment. There's things we're going to do that will be fun. And it's also going to be a tremendous amount of content.
But this is
experiences.
Arguably, this is the only trip that people will take that they will have a compulsion to transmit to their children and grandchildren. Not just telling them about all the great things that they did in place X, Y, or Z. That's what we want, and we want you to follow the footsteps. So this is a joint project. Genesis 1-2-3 Foundation as the nonprofit, building bridges between Jews and Christians, and this is a completely different direction. A year ago, I'd never imagined it, and so I'm grateful that Rabbi Josh Rubin did imagine it, and we can partner. And with his travel expertise, we're just overlaying these and marrying these great combinations, and going to give you something that you want to join, regret if you don't, and then come back to and bring your children and grandchildren. But again, very limited opportunity. Right now, what I want you to do, if you're interested, is go to genesis123.co, and under the tab at the bottom, events and project, you'll find a pull down for Footsteps. Click on that, register. Registration is just identifying yourself as being interested. And as soon as you identify yourself as being interested, you're going to get a call from one of these wonderful two people having this conversation now, so we can get your place saved, because it will be limited. Please be in touch with questions. What else? Last words.
Last words. I would have to say the last words is by another famous Jew, Billy Crystal. Billy Crystal, in the movie The Giant, he's trying to recruit this huge guy to be on the big screen. And he said, I'm going to make you famous. He says to the giant. And the giant says to him, should children know who you are, you're famous.
Ah, beautiful. There you go.
So that's what I want. I know that's what Jonathan wants.
Yep.
We want our children to look at us and say, hey, how much light have you spread along?
Okay. Well, join us on the road to fame. Footsteps. Rabbi Josh Rubin, good friend.
Jonathan Feldstein.
Partner, thank you. Friends, thank you for following and joining us on this episode. We always, for the last, you know, now it's 3 years, but especially in general, but specifically the last almost a year and a half since we came out with our stunning book, Israel, the Miracle. We always want you to have an opportunity to get something out of following and paying attention to this program. So all we ask you do, every month we're giving away a copy. Since we came out with our book, Israel, the Miracle, $75 value, we're giving away a copy every single month. All we ask that you do is either like, comment, or share the link to this conversation, to this program. And every month we pick one new person at random to receive a copy of Israel the Miracle. We're always grateful that this podcast is sponsored by our friends at the Willow Run Greenhouse in Culpeper, Virginia. If you're ever in the area, pop in and thank them for helping make conversations like this possible. And also thanks to the Coin family for their meaningful sponsorship. Inspiration from Zion and all of the Genesis 123 Foundation programs are made possible by donations. So please consider joining us to help continue the dialogue and build bridges. And this episode, only because nobody stepped up to say, hey, we want to sponsor it in memory of somebody or in honor of somebody, is in honor of all of the righteous Gentiles, the people who are our light, who are our heroes. We just spoke about the heroes from October 7th a year ago. They were our heroes decades ago, and we want to do this in their memory and in their honor, and hopefully their children and grandchildren and great-grandchildren will continue to carry that light. If you'd like to sponsor a future episode in honor or memory of a loved one or special occasion, please be in touch at inspirationfromzion@gmail.com. And as always, we'd love to hear your comments as part of a dialogue and invite you to send any questions as well, especially questions about traditional Judaism for our Ask the Rabbi programs. Please share this with others who will also find it of interest and continue to join us right here as we bring you more meaningful conversations about unique topics relating to Israel that you won't hear anywhere else. Wherever you are in the world, I pray that you and your loved ones are all safe and healthy, and I send my blessings from right here in the Judean Mountains. God bless you.